The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Great news. The Find Your Food Voice book is ready for pre-order. You can get to it at julieduffydillon.com/book. Again, the Find Your Food Voice book, the book you need to help you reconnect to your own innate eating wisdom and help you break free from diet culture. I have written this book for you and I'm so excited to bring it to you. Get to it at julieduffydillon.com/book. Welcome to episode 402 of the Find Your Food Voice podcast. We are talking today all about body changes associated with breast cancer treatment, menopause, with Lauren Anton. Let's get to it.
Bags are packed. Are you ready to go? This time tomorrow we'll be on the road. Riding with you in the sunnier days. I wouldn't want it any other way.
Hey, you're not bad for eating that. You're a successful human navigating a shame-filled blame game from all the dieting food rules. Welcome to the Find Your Food Voice podcast. I'm registered dietitian Julie Duffy Dillon, and here we weave together strategies giving you tools to defy diet culture, declare body liberation, and reclaim your peace. This isn't just for you, it's for all of us. Together, we can eliminate the need to diet, and we will. Let's begin with now.
Taking the good with the ups and downs. I want to see how the world turns round. Let's go adventure in the deep blue sea. Home lives with you wherever that may be. Home lives with you wherever that may be.
Hey there, Julie Duffy Dillon here, your host, and today's episode is an interview that I have with Lauren Anton. And if you don't know Lauren yet, Lauren is a fellow dietitian who also specializes in weight inclusive and eating disorder recovery types of nutrition interventions. And I've known her for many years. She's someone that I met at probably some random eating disorder conference many years ago. And my favorite part of conferences is like one of the reasons why I created this podcast. I have found that the conversations I have in the hallways, when I'm probably skipping a session because the conversation is just so juicy, these conversations with colleagues were always just so interesting. And I was always in a place of like, I wish I could have recorded this to share with folks who don't actually work inside this profession so you could hear the dialogue and the work that's being done behind the scenes. And Lauren is someone who lives on the other side of the country from me. And so I don't get to see very often, but I would only see her at conferences. Well, unfortunately, the pandemic and lots of other transitions have put a stop to a lot of conferences. So I have relied on things like Facebook and Instagram, just like you, to stay connected to people like Lauren, who I don't get to see very often. But if you don't know, in the fall of 2022, my Meta accounts got hacked to the point where they're not retrievable ever again. And I took it as a sign from the universe that I have just better things to do than to be hanging on Meta. And I'm really grateful now that I'm seeing the state of what's happening in the metaverse. But unfortunately, I've lost track of what's happening with a lot of my friends. And with the VoiceFinder email newsletter, I have felt really lucky in that Lauren is someone who will often reply back whenever I send out email newsletters. So we've had some dialogue. And we had dialogue recently to the point where it was starting to sound like our conference chats. And we were like, we need to actually record this conversation. So if you want to join the newsletter, the one that has kept me connected with Lauren, you can do that by going on my website. There's lots of freebies that can help you then get connected to my email newsletter. And I send out these VoiceFinder newsletter messages every week. But again, because of this newsletter and her just replying back, we were able to build this episode today. So I have so much that I was needing to catch up on in her life. And last time I saw her, she was in a completely different place. And what we're going to be talking about today is her cancer diagnosis journey, what that was like and how that impacted her relationship with her body and food. There is also some discussion of suicidal ideation and depression from a medication she needed in order to treat her cancer. And in case you're wanting to take care of yourself and skip through those parts, that's about 20 minutes into the interview where we discuss that just for about a minute. And so I'm really excited to bring you this episode because she also talks about experiencing midlife in a different way because of medical menopause. Menopause, perimenopause, midlife, those are topics that I know for you as a listener, you've been very interested in hearing me talk more about. So when Lauren was like, I need to unpack this information about how I experienced menopause, I was like, let's bring it. So before we get to this episode with Lauren, a few quick announcements. Like I mentioned at the top of the show, the Find Your Food Voice book is almost here. I cannot wait for you to read this. I'm very proud of this book, and I built it as a tool to help you. Maybe you've read intuitive eating already. Maybe you're working towards eating disorder recovery with a team and you just need access to more support and tools. This is the book I wrote for you. It is something that I hope you feel the connection to, almost like a poetry with practical tips as you are moving along this kind of complicated experience with food in 2025. So pre-ordering the book is something you can also do to very simply help support me and my team as we are putting out these free episodes to bring you more access to your food voice. And you can get to the pre-order on my website, julieduffydillon.com/book. And while you're on my website, if you want to help make this podcast better, you can do that in just 1 to 2 minutes, plus enter to win a DoorDash gift card. Someone has to win. It might as well be you, right? So you can take the Find Your Food Voice podcast listener survey. And again, it's just 1 to 2 minutes. It's going to help me build more products and better episodes for you as you're navigating this food hellscape right now, right? Like, we are all preparing for a new administration in the United States, and we know that's going to impact your relationship with food and my relationship with food. So sticking together, joining us and helping to make this podcast and this like VoiceFinder community just more supportive. Doing the survey will help me and my team to do that. So you can get to it on my website as well, julieduffydillon.com/survey. All right. So with that all being said, those are all the announcements. We're going to pause just for a very quick ad break, and then we'll be back with my interview with Lauren Anton. Hey, Lauren, good to see you.
Hey, Julie, good to see you too. Yay.
I know, I'm so excited. This is like such a selfish conversation because I finally get a chance to catch the fuck up with you.
So, yeah.
We, of course, have been chatting like all podcasters do before we push record. And I told you, and I'll tell the listener, like, I haven't known what's going on with you for almost 3 years because, you know, Facebook and Instagram is how I stayed connected with so many of my friends and colleagues. And yeah, so that was the fall of 2022. So catch me up. What?
Oh my gosh.
How is life? Yeah. Where do we start?
Where do we start? Let's see. So yeah, 2022, I was, yeah. So the last time you saw, you even said, last time I saw you, you were like happy. And
yes. And you were dating and like the big smiles on your face.
Yeah.
It was definitely inspiration for me. I was like not quite separated yet. I was like not divorced yet. So I was like, oh, look how happy she is. This could be me.
Oh, like, so it was hopeful. You weren't like in that like cynical, like.
No. I had moved through the cynical, jaded stage already.
Oh, good. Oh, perfect. Yeah, no, I thought I was with the woman I was going to marry. I had an abnormal mammogram in March of 2023.
Okay.
And so very shortly after you got off
the
socials, March of 2023, I got an abnormal mammogram and I was like, what? Because so I'm 50. I just turned 51 yesterday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. And I was at that point, I was 49. Mm-hmm. And I had been getting mammograms since I was 40. Mm-hmm. And so I got mine and they call me. Yeah, it's abnormal. We need to do another one. Blah, blah, blah. All that to say, please get your mammograms because they did catch breast cancer. Eventually. I mean, it was from March all the way till June 1st is when I finally got the diagnosis. So that's how long it took. So it was a lot of limbo. It was like, you know, like mammogram, another mammogram. And then it was like ultrasound. And then it would take a long time to get into these appointments. So all the while, my relationship was kind of eroding during that time.
Okay.
And, I didn't know this. Let's cut to the week I was diagnosed.
Okay.
She broke up with me over FaceTime on a Tuesday. On Wednesday, she came and picked up her stuff. And then on Thursday, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And I have, what I have is lobular cancer, which is a deeper cancer. If you remember your, ductal, which is like, you know, more to the surface, and then the lobules are what produce the milk. That's where my cancer was.
Okay.
So I couldn't feel it. Lobular grows like a vine sideways and it skips cells. And so it was in the right breast as I sit, thank God. I'm like doing one of these. I'm like, you know,
people watching on YouTube are going to get a little extra.
I know. They're like, wait, so are you just going to like, you know, what's happening here? And so I have a stage 2B lobular cancer. So it got into the lymph nodes. So I had to have like some, you know, there was like 14 lymph nodes removed because they have to take them out in a lump. There were three of them that had cancer. One of them had burst open.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's called invasive lobular carcinoma. Okay. And so because one of them had burst open, I had to have chemo. And going through chemo, here's the amazing thing about getting dumped right before you start all this and right as I'm diagnosed with cancer is, you know, by your partner that you thought you were going to marry. My family came. Like, you know, my sister was with me at every single chemo and every single appointment. And if she couldn't be there, my dad was there. My son's dad was like an amazing help. My son was, how old? He was 10 when I was diagnosed.
Okay.
It was my friends, like they created, you know, a meal train for me. I mean, like all of this. So, cause I had to have a double mastectomy in August. I chose to have a reconstruction. I got to, and this will be important, you know, because it was deep, and because the cancer hadn't gotten near the nipples, I got to save my nipples, which is actually like really nice.
That's a conversation that I don't think many people know about unless they've been through breast cancer or known someone, how that is a, you know, just a part of the discussion with body image in this process. So, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I got to, so couple body image pieces. I got to keep my nipples. Then they have you decide how your boobs are going to look. I'm like, this was very hard in terms of body image. Let me tell you, no sensation in my breasts at all. None.
Since having reconstruction?
Yeah, just since having the double mastectomy, there's no sensation. And they said this, you will have no sensation. Now they're having like new things where I bet in 20 years, like they'll find a way to have sensation. So, you know, here it is.
How many people are studying that though? I mean, it just seems like someone with breasts having sensation, like I can't see people being like, yeah, let's fund it because it has nothing to do with erectile dysfunction, you know? Right? Like, so why would they fund it?
I know, anyway, right?
I'm jaded. That's my jaded part still living.
No, it's not jaded. It's facts.
Yeah.
Now you get to choose like what kind of boobs you're going to have. Are you kidding me? You know, or do you want to go flat? They're like, by the way, if you want the option, you have to put these expanders in right at the, at the double mastectomy,
exactly.
Or you won't have a choice. You will just like, you know, have nothing. And that is a choice. So I considered it. I was like, I'm not ready for that. Everything happens so fast.
And you have to make a decision quickly. Yeah.
Yeah, you really do. And because they're like, this is kind of a fast moving cancer. So we need to make these decisions. So the year prior to that, I was training to do a backpacking along the Inca Trail to Machu Picchu, was like a whole big deal. And I was training to do that. And on the day I was supposed to go fly to Peru, I ended up getting a double mastectomy instead. So my sister was like, this is your Machu Picchu.
That's so funny. Oh, but that, it's so cute. And you're never someone who comes off as like toxic positivity. And so, getting that one.
I died. My sister, she always made me laugh during all my chemo appointments. I love it so much. We would be loud. Sitting there. Honestly, people are sitting there by themselves.
Mm. So what was it like to have someone sit there with you through treatment?
Magical.
Oh, so
my sister, and specifically to have my sister there. Mm-hmm. You know, she made me laugh. Oh my God. You know, she made me laugh. We laughed the entire time.
That's so great.
I mean, if you can, that's a gift. That is a gift. Because almost no one has that. So for me, and I think for a lot of people with breast cancer, they pump you full of steroids, which does cause body changes.
What kind did you experience?
The kind I experienced was my weight went up. I wasn't like necessarily, in fact, they would weigh me, you know, for the chemo. They would never put it in my chart, bless them. And I would stand backwards. You know, they needed it to do the chemo. Cause normally I would be like, I'm like, nah, never mind. I don't want to get weighed. One time I got on with my backpack, boots, jeans, and a huge sweater. And I just like looked at her like,
don't fuck with me. Yeah. See, this is the Lauren.
This is my weight.
Yeah.
And it's like sometimes I make a little stupid statement like that, you know, and I have thin privilege for sure. And so when I say this, it's like, you know, I go to thin body to, you know, like another version of a thin body. So any body shift is like really tough because I wasn't like ever dieting or anything. I was just weight stable, like athletic. I was training to do a lot of things.
Because your main sport was running, right? Wasn't that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
That's what I did was running. And then, I started hiking. So I was hiking and, you know, all that was put on hold and it became about like dealing with the cording that comes from the loss of the, lymph nodes here and just the double mastectomy in general. I was lucky enough to be in physical therapy like all throughout chemo.
Great.
Because after the double mastectomy, I had like drains coming out my sides. It was really painful and the whole thing was very hard. My sister stayed with me for a week. And after that, it was people just coming in and checking on me.
Nice.
And during chemo, so I always had chemo on a Thursday. So on Wednesday night, I had to take a steroid. And then the next day, they pump you like literally in your port. But here's my port scar.
Yeah.
You can't really see it. So they intravenously pump you full of steroids. The next day, you take steroids too.
Okay.
So many steroids. It's to mitigate the effects of the chemo. And so that caused, over time, like, you know, weight gain. It also caused, a lot of carb cravings. That's real.
Yeah. What was that like for you to like, real. Did it take a little bit to figure out that's what was happening, or could you tell right away?
No, I knew. They told, mm-hmm. they talk about like loss of, I don't know, like just loss of ownership mm-hmm. over your body. Mm-hmm. It's like a thing is taking over. And even though I was like, okay, you know, I know what this is. It's still very difficult. When I talk to people who had very big body changes, I was, even with the sort of like knowing, you know, all the intuitive eating skills, just all the medical knowledge mm-hmm. I have, like still, it doesn't matter if you're not like binging at night over these things, which by the way, could have been very easy to do. Very easy. Because it was like, it felt like a bottomless pit.
From people I know in my life who've experienced cancer, a lot of the talk that they got from their medical providers would focus on nutrition and preventing weight gain. So I could see how that would be a mind fuck. If you noticed I'm craving carbs, I can't control myself around carbs. And then also holding that other information in your brain of like, oh God, they told me that in order to like stay alive, I can't gain weight.
I could go off on a tangent on that.
Yeah.
In fact, the one time I went to like this free event for people with breast cancer, and the whole nutrition thing was like about how to lose weight after. Like, here's the deal. Not only am I put on these things, the steroids, and my weight went up such that, and this is the kicker. It sized me up out of all my clothes. And okay. I was not in a financial position to be buying a bunch of clothes. It was very, very upsetting to me. I'll be really frank.
Yeah, having clothing is like a part of just like having dignity, you know?
I just was like, oh my gosh. So I have like essentially a ton of clothes that I can't wear to this day. Because even after the chemo, which ended in January 11th, 2024, I got my reconstruction in February of 2024. And then in March of 2024, because I have cancer or had, I don't even know. And in March, I started, because I have hormone positive, estrogen, progesterone positive, HER2 negative. So I had to start hormone suppressors. So that is when I got, so the first chemo I had menopause.
Okay.
And yeah, so the last period I ever had was September 21st, 2023. That was the day after my first chemo. And okay. I thought I was having flashbacks to giving birth, which was not pleasant for me.
With your first period or your period, your last period during your first chemo.
It was like heavy to the point of ridiculous.
Oh no.
And I was by myself. So I would get my chemo on a Thursday, and then Friday I would go in for hydration, more steroids, more stuff.
Yeah.
And then Saturday and Sunday and Monday were horrendous, and I was alone.
Mm-hmm.
And that
mm-hmm.
was when I was really missing having a partner, because it's like, that's when you want a partner to mm-hmm. just, so you know who my partner was my kitty.
Oh, what's your cat's name?
Her name is Shirley, but she goes by Sher.
Okay.
And
she answers with Sher.
Literally the cutest.
That's so great.
And I love her so much. Like, I would literally cry in pain, and like I would just hold her. Like, mm-hmm. we would spoon. And yeah, it gets cumulative and it gets harder mm-hmm. and harder. And mm-hmm. I only went through 6 rounds. Some people go through like a million rounds. Like, they're like, I went through 16 rounds. I'm like, oh my God.
So six rounds, does that mean 6 like days you went in for chemo?
Or yeah, so every 3 weeks it mm-hmm. was
okay.
a round of chemo. So 6 times.
Okay. Got it.
And then so it was like it ended up being from September 20th to January 11th.
Okay.
Yeah, I did cold capping so to protect my hair follicles, but most of my hair still fell out, but they were it was already growing back by the end. They're like, see how it's growing. I mean, you know, so my hair is like.
Yes. Yeah. And if you're not watching on YouTube, you know, Lauren has wonderful, like, curly hair. And I'm assuming it's a lot of hair, you know, and it's thick.
A ton of hair. It grew back exactly the same. And I will say, cold
capping
works.
That's interesting because not everyone else has that.
It did protect the hair follicle. Because I'll tell you what, every single other hair on my body is not the same. It's less, like, you know, I have to draw my eyebrows in. These are not real. And, like, they're barely there. You know, like, I barely have any body hair anymore. But you know what grew back in force all by itself? What's my nose hairs.
I love it. Oh, the universe has its strange ways. What was the shift for menopause is just like dramatic for everyone. So, and I have a couple friends who went through surgical menopause or like they had a, you know, a hysterectomy.
Medical menopause.
And so that just seems even like, using your steroid reference, like that seems like menopause on steroids because it's just so fast. Is that how it was for you? Was it a really quick turn into menopause?
Yeah, it was awful. So that chemo is chemo.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's like a whole thing. You know, it was awful. Anyway, but like this kind of like getting on these hormone suppressors, because she was hoping I was in menopause. She goes, a lot of times people will get kicked into menopause with chemo. So she was hoping, because I had that last period and then never had another one all throughout chemo, she was hoping I wouldn't have to do the Lupron shot in addition.
Oh yeah.
So, I started on, this one aromatase inhibitor. It's like being like, you know, like just drop kicked into menopause. Suddenly I'm having like chemo, you have really bad, like, hot flashes weirdly. This, I just was having like that had abated after I stopped the chemo, then they came back with a vengeance. I now take like magnesium in the morning and magnesium at night to mitigate that, which by the way, I experimented like getting off of it. Yeah. I got right back on. And
that's what we all have to do. Is the magnesium dosage different? I know. And I'll just, you know, the disclaimer, like talk to your individual healthcare provider before you start any supplement.
Yeah.
But is the magnesium dosage similar to using it for other conditions? Like I use it for my migraine or for sleep or constipation. Is it like,
I think it's because I take it in the morning and at night, it's a little more than like, say, for constipation, because I suggest people to take it. And it's like this one certain type that, of course, I'm blanking on. I can give to you later, though. He said this is the one that was studied. So anyway, yeah, the brain fog and then the crushing depression, which I really, really tried on an SSRI. I got like all the things. And I went into, by the time September hit last year, I said, look, here's the deal. I am going to get off this med, even though if I do, I will eventually get breast cancer again and die. Because one way or another, this is deadly. I cannot stay on this.
Which medicine are you talking about?
The aromatase inhibitor I was on.
Okay.
And so for me, like, you never know what side effects you're going to get. So for me, it was continued weight gain. And, no one cared about that. To my team's credit, not once cared about like, oh, and now you have to lose weight.
Okay. I wonder if that was part of it, the like starting out in a thinner body, maybe. I don't know. I wonder if they would react differently.
Yeah. Because that's why I preface this whole conversation with, look, I got thin privilege. So right there. So
I mean, I want to be hopeful that they wouldn't say it to any person, but, you know, healthcare providers.
And I don't know. I mean,
so was the depression a side effect of that medication?
So what we did was we trialed a month off. This is how I found out I was not in menopause because my estrogen went right back to normal in the 1 month. So now I have to be on Lupron as well. Every 3 months I get a shot. These medications cause muscle loss. They cause bone density loss. They cause fat mass, like literal adipose tissue gain. And they cause brain fog. Like I can't remember shit. If I thought it was bad before in perimenopause, because I was in perimenopause, it's horrendous. I have to have like a lot of reminders, things written down, things kept out. Otherwise I will forget them. And then the depression is what was really the kicker. We trialed off for a month, and then it was like, it lifted, and it was like suicidal ideation depression. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay. Like that's mm-hmm. why that time I went in, I said, I need to get off. I am going to get off this.
Yes. Yeah.
Whether or not you like it.
Yeah.
Because I'd rather die happy than not.
Yeah.
Like yeah. I can't have these intrusive thoughts mm-hmm. of mm-hmm. literal death mm-hmm. all the time. Mm-hmm. It was killing me. And those lifted. I mean, in the final week off, when we trialed off in that, you know, fourth week, I was like, oh my God. I mean, it was like, mm-hmm. I could breathe. Mm-hmm. And so she switched me, and it's been great ever since.
Good.
And the body changes are there. You know, speaking of like having to choose, like to backtrack to having to choose like your boobs, your breasts.
Yeah. What an interesting experience. I'm like picturing you looking at a catalog and being like, not those, maybe those. Like, experience.
Yeah. And I said, luckily I went to someone who only does reconstructions for breast cancer. I wanted them like the same or smaller.
Okay.
Because I was like, oh, they're too big. And that's the big athlete in me. Like I was always like the big chested runner mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and I didn't like that. And that was like from high school. Mm-hmm. So that's like the baggage I'm bringing into it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the boys would, I went to an all girls school, but when we would run, like they would, there was a lot of commentary.
I bet.
Which I didn't like. And oh, look at her bounce, you know.
And yeah, sports bras were not.
They are not what they are today.
Choices. I was not that person, but some of my friends were. Yeah, exactly. I can remember.
It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So I remember you have to stand there and like be looked at. Like you're just like half clothed. Mm-hmm. You know,
and she's like trying to figure out like what type of breast like shape you have or something.
She goes, look, here's the deal. If you go too small, she goes, you have a really wide rib cage. These are the words.
Yeah.
You have a really wide rib cage and it's going to like literally my bones.
I was probably why you're such a good runner too. Cause there's probably some nice lungs underneath there.
You know, and it's like triggering all these old things. And I'm like, don't choose this. Like, just, yeah. Okay. Sure. And then I remember like, she goes, if you go too small, it's going to look weird.
Okay.
It she goes, I'm just going to tell you that. Like, this is literally how she's very down to earth. I love her. Mm-hmm. You know, and, you know, she goes, it's going to look odd on you. You keep showing me pictures of people with little rib cages. And this it's so interesting, like the stuff that comes up. Like I kept showing her people that weren't me at all.
Oh, that's so interesting, especially as someone who like helps people with body image and recovery. Yeah. But I mean, but, like, we live in the same fucking world. Yeah.
You're old. Yeah. And like these little people, these uh-huh. elven people, I shouldn't say. These people who just simply don't have my body, mm-hmm, bottom mm-hmm. line.
Yeah.
And she's like,
narrow rib cage. Yeah.
Yeah. They got narrow rib cages. And so I had to like come to terms with like, this is my body type.
Yeah.
I got a wide rib cage. What are you going to do? Literally nothing. Tell me what to do.
Good.
And
there
she
you
was
go.
Like, yeah. She goes, I would do, she goes, so I would kind of do what you had because mm-hmm. you looked proportioned. It was fine. Mm-hmm. You know, like just do what you know. So they're pretty much the same exact size. It's still, they don't look the same. There's like permanent bruising from the double mastectomy, actually. Yeah. They were like, that might not go away. It totally didn't. And there's like scarring all, you know, like, mm-hmm. and they did a great job, like, hiding it, but there's still scarring from here. There's like tiny mm-hmm. little flaps here from like the where the drains were, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. And then here's the kicker. She goes, okay, so you know, in order for the breast to look natural instead of like a bag, like a skin bag with a implant in it, we need to like put fat grafts from your own fat. And she goes, where do you, this is,
yeah, you know, I know where this
where
is going.
Do you not, where do you not lose weight? You know, where do you have stubborn fat? And I was like,
like, we've been trained to like, not even like honor that kind of question ever. Right. And then,
then I have to sit there. And so I said, I don't know, my stomach. And she goes, she's looking at me again. I'm half naked. And she goes, see, here's the thing. 'Cause you had a baby. If I take out from there, you're going to have like loose skin. So unless you want to have another surgery that's not covered by insurance, you know, what do you want to do? And she goes, you know what? If I were you, I would do the fat, the fat on your lower back. She's like, now we're doing this, right? Like,
oh my gosh,
fat on your lower back. Do you lose there? And I was like,
did she get a Sharpie out and it was like circling certain areas or something? Like,
yes.
Oh no. Oh no. Yeah.
She was like, here, the day of, they did a Sharpie.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine that because they're, you know.
Of course. But, you know, they have to. Yeah. Right. So they do the right thing.
Exactly.
And I was like, you know what? Do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, let her choose. You know, I'm like, you've done literally, I don't even like hundreds upon hundreds of these. So, like, you tell me. And, right. And she was like, I would do that. And so I was like, great. Like,
what was it?
You know what? And then, you know, of course there were comments about like, well, now your butt's going to pop more. You know what, guys, you know, it's just like simply not true. I look pretty much the same.
Yeah. Well, so what was it like for you to, I'm not in your brain.
Definitely a mess.
Well, yeah. So like, what was it like to try to reframe or to like have compassion for your body in those moments? Like all these different things you're describing, you know, what did you do to like get through it and try to focus on compassion and you know, use all the skills that we talk about all the time?
Yeah, I would do Vipassana, Shamatha Vipassana, that meditation, which is an eyes open meditation. I would like have like the last 2 minutes of it be like a complete body compassion, like a loving kindness, self-compassion meditation for my body. Uh-huh. And, literally just like touching my belly, which is, that's hard for me. Mm-hmm. And just touching like my, you know, my heart. It's weird, honestly.
Like lower down in your chest. Yeah.
Yeah. Just lower down. And then like just giving myself all the like compassion and love and like even having a loving kindness towards my body, mm-hmm. loving kindness meditation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, because the really negative self-talk just started up again. I started to notice as I passed the mirror, like just intense hatred and disgust.
Mm-hmm.
And because my body looked so different to me, you know what, to be honest, probably didn't look that different to anyone else, I suppose. I don't know. And I don't care. I noticed, and I'll tell my clients this. I'm like, I know you live in your body and this is hard for you.
I think for anybody who's going to go through menopause, they're going to experience body changes. Actually, I say this, I'm like, any human being, if we get to live older, we're going to go through you body changes.
Will. The alternative is death, literally.
Yeah. Yeah. So, So if someone is going through, you know, without cancer treatment or like a medical menopause or is going through something like you did, and they're hearing that negative self-talk, they're hearing those like the disgust, like that is such a common word we hear people use.
And I
that
use we it made on purpose. Like, let's be real.
That's the word. And what do you recommend to people in those moments? Like, what would you suggest to do when you hear the disgust or the self-hatred?
I like literally like move out of that path. Like at that moment, you have a choice. Mm-hmm. Because now that you've noticed it,
noticing when you notice it. Yeah. So that's probably even step one is notice it.
Step one is noticing. Like sometimes you won't notice and it takes a beat. With the minute you notice, oh, now you have a choice.
Yeah.
You can continue along that path or you can be like, literally shift the mind. Sometimes the best I could do in those moments, and I'll tell clients this, you don't have to sit there and love your body, like, I love you. You know, like maybe mm-hmm. you don't have the capability in that moment to do that. Or at this time, at the very least, we shift the mind. I would shift my mind. I would be like, okay. Sometimes I didn't put them in. They were here when I moved in. Big closet mirrors. I would just move the mirror and be like, move and busy myself with the next indicated action.
Like distract
Stop
yourself. Yeah.
The thought.
Yeah.
Stop it. Stop it. Like the Bob Newhart thing.
Yes. Stop gosh. I haven't thought about Bob Newhart in a long time. Rest in peace.
Yeah. Rest in peace. Yeah. I could, in the moments of meditation, consciously, when I'm in like, I'm not in the thick of it. I'm not like mm-hmm. moving from like, you know, the disgust moment to mm-hmm. like, I love you.
That sounds funny.
Yeah.
Because it's not how it works, you know?
That's not how it works, folks. Or yeah. I mean, you know what? If it works like that for you, wonderful.
They're not listening to my podcast then. Yeah. Yeah.
Our listeners.
No, I mean, that's not real for most people, you know?
It's just not. Like, how mm-hmm. are you supposed to boop, 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 you know, yeah. like that? A lot of times while I'm getting ready, I will literally listen to like a podcast or music or NPR or the local radio station. Why? Because there's a lot of mirrors going on. Mm-hmm. So that became like a really nice distraction mm-hmm. because I would be really listening to whatever it was. It really puts I'm like thinking about that and doing my, so then in moments of neutrality, when I'm like meditating and, you know, I'm like just doing my normal meditation practice, then I can practice. And it is a practice mm-hmm. of like, self, like that self-compassion and the loving kindness towards my body. Mm-hmm. You know, loving kindness is simply happy, may I be healthy, may I be peaceful. You can make it up though. So may I have ease in my life. Like traditionally it's you do it with your own self. Then you mm-hmm. do it with someone you love. Then you do it with someone who is like, you don't even really know, like a neutral person. And mm-hmm. then you do it with maybe someone you, you know, have an issue with. And then you do it for the world. Okay. You can just globalize that with the body.
Yes. Yes.
Doing it with a part that you just really appreciate.
Yeah. Start there.
Doing it with like a part that, you have an issue with, doing it with like the body as a whole, you know, like mm-hmm. that. And
I love that.
I think that is so useful. Especially when like, it's not like going to be something you jump to from like the disgust moment mm-hmm. to, okay. And then hey, if that works for you, great. Otherwise, use the distraction.
Yeah.
And then when I'm in like doing just regular meditation practice, I tack on that extra couple minutes and just like sit in like, you know, even like a minute of it. And
right.
Sit in that.
Yeah. You don't have to do it for hours and hours. A minute is fabulous.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Like a minute of meditation is perfect.
I love it. I want to talk to you for hours and hours, and I know we have to get off the phone now, and I hate it so much. Well, maybe I'll just have to have you come back, and you can tell me some more about what's going on.
Part two?
Why not? Let's do it.
I love it.
So where can people find you, though, if they want to know more about you? Where should they go?
I have a whole brand new website, Lauren Anton RD, as in registered dietitian.com.
Okay.
I speak, I will be adding to, this year I'm going to be adding some workshops. Like it's going to be directed, towards folks who have gone through, breast cancer or any cancer and want to mm-hmm. reconnect with their bodies and in a loving, in a compassionate way.
So you're a really great speaker. So
I love speaking and I love doing supervision so much. I specialize in eating disorders for years now, years and years, mm-hmm. and sports nutrition. I think part of coming back to the body is getting back to things that you love and then honoring that. Like, okay, mm-hmm. What am I able to do now?
Yeah.
And just like discovering that and being easeful with it. Mm-hmm. I'm a trained meditation instructor. So like I bring that into not only the sessions, but like the workshops. I in my previous career, I taught writing and so creative writing. So doing like guided journaling is a big thing. So
excited.
Yeah, that's what we'll be
That's in the future. So, well, awesome.
I know, but go visit my website. I'm going to be having a newsletter and which should be starting in the next month or two. Yeah. And so sign up for that, please. And you will get wonderful newsletters that are going to be jam packed with awesomeness.
I cannot wait, especially knowing now that you're a writer, I will be signing up. So thank you. I'm glad things are, you know, going well. So thanks so much for your time today. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on.
So there you have it. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Lauren and were able to take some tips to add to your life, no matter what you're experiencing, no matter what body changes you are experiencing or may in the future. Again, I hope this conversation was helpful for you. Before we go, just a quick reminder, the Find Your Food Voice book is ready for pre-order. Just a few more weeks until you get to read it. Oh my gosh, this is so exciting for me. And so you can pre-order it at julieduffydillon.com/book. And I thank you in advance for the support. It really does help me and my team to be able to continue to do this podcast. So thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, that's enough for today. And I look forward to being in your ears next week for another episode of the Find Your Food Voice podcast. Until then, take care. Home is with you wherever that may be.